I always try to point out to you the fact that in the church, in the faith, everything is connected. And the saint whose feast we celebrate today is very much connected. Saint Eusebius, or Eusebius of Vercelli. Now, it is connected, as many who have been here for years, others have not, because the home of the family, especially the mother's family, of Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati, I still want to say blessed. It's hard for me to believe that after so many, many years of praying for his canonization, he is a saint. Saint Pier Giorgio's family home of his mother, and it was his summer home, was in the diocese of Vercelli, which is way up near the Alps in northeastern Italy, all the way up. A little bit further, and you're in Switzerland and France. And here was that St. Eusebius was made a bishop. Now, he lived throughout most of the 4th century, a very horrible century, if you think of centuries of the Church's life, because we had particularly the Arian heresy. He was not a bishop at the time of the Council of Nicaea, so he was not there. Maybe he was there as a participant or a theologian. But he fought Arianism and any other heresy that came up ferociously. In the meantime, when Julian the Apostate, the nephew of St. Constantine the Great, who returned to paganism, that's why he is the apostate. So his only fame in the history of mankind, when he could have been a saint, was the apostate. What a horrible, shameful thing to do. And of course, many Catholics today, many priests and bishops even, are apostatizing and turning away from the Holy Catholic Church, from the truth of Christ. And so, when he took over, he persecuted the church ferociously. There's no worse enemy to the Catholic Church than a lapsed Catholic. It's horrible. Most of these communists all over the place were lapsed Catholics, with the exception of Stalin, who was a lapsed Orthodox. But that's close enough. And so they hated the church ferociously. And St. Eusebius was caught up in this, and he was exiled, first to Egypt and then to Palestine. But you know, the devil doesn't get away with anything. And what happened is that St. Eusebius brought back from Palestine all kinds of manuscripts for the scriptures, and the oldest copy of the Bible that exists today is that copy which belonged to St. Eusebius. And of course, he was participating in the translation, and later on, his friend St. Jerome would do so. Then, of course, he brought back other wonderful things. Perhaps among them, Our Lady of Częstochowa. But the most important one of all, which is very close to us here, the statue that is in the Holy House of Loreto. And he brought that from Palestine. And it was said to have been carved by St. Luke. Unfortunately, in 1920, those lazy Italian Franciscans allowed a fire to start in the Holy House, and the original statue was destroyed. So a new statue was commissioned exactly as that one. Maybe they already had it. Of course, I've been there hundreds of times. It is my favorite place in the world. If I could retire to Italy, I would retire to Loreto. But Eusebius had something to do with that too. And of course, he has something to do with St. Pier Giorgio Frassati. He was to die after many persecutions. He came back, became Bishop of Vercelli, and he was to die in the year 371 AD. But not after suffering tremendously. So much so that the church has always called him Bishop and Martyr. because not all who are martyrs have necessarily died of a violent death, but he suffered a violent life. And of course, some of us have too, and so we give thanks to God for those wonderful gifts. In the meantime, we pray to Saint Eusebius, and especially we pray that all the work that he did, especially against heresy and for the promotion of the correct translation of the Holy Scriptures from Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek and Latin into a proper Latin, which of course Saint Jerome did, which we call the Vulgate, which is the official version of the Church. If you could read Latin, you would see how much more beautiful it is than the English, even this Elizabethan English that we are forced to use in the traditional Mass. But anyway, it is so very beautiful, and the words of God resound and should resound in our souls and fill us with love and the fire of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Holy Spirit. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.